I'm an addict. My name's Ryan. I'd like, if we could, to just take a moment of silence. And if you would invite your higher power in to kind of help my higher power speak through me, so that you can hear a strong message in Narcotics Anonymous. Maybe we can all get something out of this. Thank you. Start off, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little worried. I'm a little fearful right now. This is my first time sharing my story at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I shared my story once previously within the walls of another fellowship, and it was a disaster because they gave me an hour. That was their first mistake. You guys are smarter. You only gave me a half hour. They gave me a whole hour, and I probably spent 40 minutes of it talking about my drug use, and I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to simply mention the fact that I use drugs. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. I'm big on listening to speaker tapes, going to speaker jams, going to any kind of a convention, anything that's got a speaker, because I love hearing people's stories. And maybe this is just part of me. I always have my opinions on people that spend, you know, at least half their time or more talking about their drug use. I know how to use drugs. I didn't do it very successfully. If I would have been more successful at using drugs, maybe I wouldn't have ended up here when I was 21 years old. I didn't start using drugs until I was 17, and I ended up here by the time I was 21. I wasn't very good at it. It found me on March 17th of 2004. Found me on a bridge. With no money, with no hope, with nothing to live for. All I know is that about 2 weeks prior to that, my uncle had come to me and he had told me that he could see my life deteriorating. He told me he could see the hopelessness I was down to about 125 pounds, and my uncle said, I can see what you're doing. He said, I don't know what it is you're doing, but I know you're dying. And 2 weeks later, I was crossing the bridge from the casino back into Omaha with this grandiose idea that I was going to throw my car into park on the bridge and jump off, and then it would be on the news, and everybody would be sad, And as I got onto that bridge and I'm crying, and this is these are the type of tears, this is the type of crying where you can't even see, where you can't even see, you don't even know what's going on, and I'm driving my car, and I'm driving over the bridge, and this thought comes into my mind that there's got to be someone, one person out there that can help. And that thought did not come from me. That thought had to have come from a power greater than myself. That was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. At midnight, I ended up in treatment. Since that period of time, I have not felt it necessary to use any mind or mood-altering chemicals. That has very little to do with anything I've done. It has a whole lot more to do with what the people did when I arrived here. I went into my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting. I was, let me back up and throw in a couple disclaimers. First, I'm a basic tech thumper. I take it everywhere I go. I've been clean for a little over 3 years. And my text looks like crap. But I tell you what, every page has something marked in it, written in it. I put notes in it. I underline, I circle, I star, I do whatever I can to try and learn this program. I wish I could say I was that teachable when I got here. I wasn't. I came in here with the thought that, okay, my problem is drugs, and my solution is not using drugs. You guys apparently had that solution. I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to do what I'm really good at. I'm going to come in to where you are, and I'm going to take what you have, and I'm going to take it home with me. Because I was, I am a thief, man. That's part of my story. And I came in here with the idea I was going to, heard it last weekend, someone said, you can't shoplift this program. I tried, and I tried really hard. And no matter what, I couldn't take it home with me. And I couldn't figure that out. like I said, I'm a basic tech stumper. If I say anything that's not reconcilable with what's within the walls of the basic text, with what's written in black and white, feel free to disregard it as one of my many opinions that aren't worth anything more than that. when I came in here, like I said, I just wanted to stop using drugs, and I didn't know that I was my problem. I didn't know that self-obsession was my problem. I would come to find that out through trial and error. I think that's a lot of what my story is. I came in and people around me, at my first meeting outside of treatment in Omaha here, a couple of guys, I went up to a guy afterwards and the guy was bigger than me and he gave hugs like a bear. Which I wasn't quite comfortable with yet, but I asked the guy to be, I said, will you be my temporary sponsor? And that was my first mistake. He says to me, are you going to work a temporary program? And I said, you know, I'm one day clean. By the way, they told me, no matter what you do, don't go back to the dope house. That's what they said. When you go back to Omaha, don't go back to the dope house. First place I went back in Omaha was to the dope house. I realized something on that day, again, through trial and error. I realized that I had nothing in common with those people. I had nothing. So I went into my first meeting and I was scared. And he asked me, are you going to work a temporary program? No. You know, I'm not going to work a temporary program. So he said he'd be my sponsor. The first time I called that man was over 2 months later when I called him to fire him because I had gotten someone else. That just tells you about where my willingness was. I did live in an Oxford house, though. And thank God for places outside of... that's my little guy. Thank God for places outside of these rooms that also help addicts. Because there wasn't a meeting going on 24/7. You know, and that's what I needed. I needed 24/7 accountability when I got clean. And I had it through some outside help. I came in, they started saying things like work the steps, they started saying things like, find God. See, I had found God in treatment, and this goes back to my uncle. And I'm going to bring up my uncle again later. But my uncle took me to treatment after I called him on that bridge. he's hard to talk about. He means a lot to me because he saved my life that day. Because if he wouldn't have answered that phone, I was going to turn around and go back across the bridge. And this time, I there was no other option. I was that hopeless when I got here. But he answered the phone. He got me to treatment that night. sometimes it, sometimes my gratitude will speak a lot more through my emotions than through my words. My uncle came up to visit me when I was in treatment. It was my eighth day up there. It was March 26th. I remember the day very clearly. I had just gotten out of the detox they had at this treatment center. And my uncle was coming up to visit me to see how I was doing. My uncle had been through this treatment center twice. He had been the one that had first told me about the hope within within the walls. And he had to be escorted off the grounds of the treatment center because he was drunk. He drove 3.5 hours to see me while drinking. He had taken me to, and at that point, because see, I had read through the 12 steps already, and I had said, one, okay, no problem, man. No problem with one, I'm powerless, my life, it couldn't be more unmanageable. Two, absolutely, I'm insane, I need some help. And I read three, and it said God. And I think addicts are the only people on earth to whom God is a four-letter word. And I didn't speak that word unless it was to denounce that power. And on that day, I realized I had to have something because I could not continue to live my life that way. My uncle showed me on that day that I needed to find God, and on that day, I did find God, as I understand God. So I'm 8 days clean, though, in treatment, and I now have a higher power. And see, you hear people talk about a burning bush, man, and that's what I had. You know, it wasn't a bush, but I had a burning bush. It was a sudden and profound change. So I had that, and I thought, okay, I've got this God thing down, that's all I need. And I don't know, came out of treatment, life got better, because there was nowhere for it to go but better. There was nowhere for it to go but better. I didn't change a whole lot of else, so I was just going to meetings. I was going to 2 or 3 meetings a day. Basic text, I believe it's the understatement of the basic text where it says that a meeting a day for 90 days is a good idea. I've never heard of a better idea. And I've put that into practice at more than one time in my recovery where I've gone to a meeting a day for 90 days. It says in the beginning, and for me, I have to start over every now and then. I have to go back to the beginning. When I forget, when I get out of place, when I lose that conscious contact with God, I have to go back to the beginning. eventually, some things started happening in my life, some good things. Went back to school, went back to college, and was taking classes. but I wasn't working the steps. See, I had worked 1, 2, and 3 with about 3 different gentlemen in this program. And as soon as I got to that 4th step, I kept running. And I'd find myself a new gentleman to start working with. I'd find a reason, an excuse, a rationalization, whatever I could to move on, to start working with someone else, just to avoid the pain of looking at myself. Eventually, avoiding that pain brought it to a head. I found myself on another bridge, smack dab between a year and 18 months clean, again with the desire to jump off. Never had the desire to use, never had the thought to use. Thank God that was removed from me. I hear people talk about, you know, people in this program with significant clean time, they say every day they get up and make a choice not to use drugs that day. Thank God I don't have to make that choice, because one of these days I'd wake up on the wrong side of the bed and I'd make the wrong choice. That option was taken from me by a higher power quite a long time ago. And thank God it was. I found myself on a bridge, though, with the desire to jump off again. And it came down to the fact I had to work the steps or I was going to die. And I had a great sponsor at the time, and I worked the fourth step, and I worked the fifth step, and I worked the sixth and the seventh, and I started making amends. And suddenly, I tell you what, since that point in time, everything in my life has flipped. And I can't even seem to slow it down. You know, I wake up in the morning and my life is so busy. I'm in touch with addicts every day. I have been for a very long time. There's not many people that aren't addicts that I have in my life. I found a family here. Not to say that I don't have a family at home. This was the first place in the world, though, where I felt like people understood me. a guy used to come into my home group a long time ago when my home group was a lot smaller. And he came around for a couple months, and he was struggling, but he would say the most profound things. And he said to me one day, he said, when I start talking in Narcotics Anonymous, it's like the bobblehead effect. People's heads just start bouncing. And they do, man. You guys spoke my language. The first time, someone read it earlier, the first time I heard who is an addict, when it said most of us do not have to think twice about that question, we know. I truly believe that says more than just we know about ourselves. We can spot one another too. We can spot one another. All it took when I was out there to get whatever it was I wanted was a little head nod. So much can be said without anything being said. In this program, I've been given a new way of life. You know, and from the speaker podium, that was the first time I ever remember. I'm sure it was said in my presence, but it was the first time I ever remember hearing what the message of Narcotics Anonymous was, that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs. See, I thought that was the whole goal of being here. I came to find out that stop using, that was like a prerequisite. That was a prerequisite for my life getting better, for me being able to work the steps and find the spiritual awakening at the end of the journey. An addict, any addict. In another part of the book, it talks about the idea of even a potential addict. I hear people talk about that idea all the time. Oh, well, I haven't gone there. I haven't done that. See, I was like that when I came in. I hadn't gone there and done that. And in addition to that, I was younger than 99% of you. Hell yeah, I still am. But it says very clearly in the text, we do not care what or how much you've used. It doesn't matter. Many of you probably used longer than I've been alive to this day. You know, I won't hold it against you. Yeah. Neither will you. Good. Sometimes I get to talk to people about this program on a regular basis, and people like to argue this program. They like to argue the fact that it works. And through coming here and listening to people and reading this book, I've been able to make a couple of observations about what's written in the book. And one of the things I found that was so profound when I heard it was the fact that the 12 steps are written in the past tense. And I knew that, you know. I took English, you know, in fourth grade. I know what the past tense is. But I never put two and two together. Why are they written in the past tense? Someone finally pointed it out to me. And they said it's because they were written from experience. This is not a theory. It works. Carrie mentioned in introducing me that I get to be a father today. And that's the truth of it, man. I don't have to do anything today. I get to do it. I have the privilege. I can hear it. I'm still, my stomach's just in knots right now. But I get to be up here. You know, and it was always a dream of mine to get to be up here looking at you. And let me tell you, it's a pretty good view. It's pretty cool to stand up here and to be asked to carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and I've found that that word, carry, is the most important word out of all that. I get to carry it today. You know, and you don't have to take it, but I get to carry it. Because if I put it down and pick it up, I'm headed for trouble. I found that on that bridge. Some of the miracles, man, I don't know how far. I got a clock right ahead of me. But I don't know what time we started. When you want me to, I'll just keep talking. I wanted to make sure to mention some of the miracles that have happened since I got here. Because the program promises us only freedom. And that's on page 102. If you keep reading to page 103, it offers us much, much more. It says it offers us much, much more. Some of the things that the program has given me, relationships, man. Relationships, for one, with men. I knew one thing about relationships, and that's that they involve sex when I got here. I didn't have relationships with men. Today I have relationships with men. I also have relationships with women that are healthy. And I didn't have that when I got here. God willing, in 3 days, I will have been in a consistent, stable, healthy relationship with the same woman for a year. That's you guys. That's not me. That's you guys. Because I can't do that. Just to give you an indication, the longest I had been in a committed relationship with the same woman before this was 9 weeks. 9 weeks. Being a father, I thank you for teaching me how to be a father. I look around the rooms and I see fathers. And I see how lucky I am that my son never has to see me use drugs. You know, you've given me some serenity, follow through, friends. When I walked into my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting in Omaha, a guy wrapped his arms around me, and he said, "What are you doing tonight?" And he said, "You're coming with us." He didn't ask me. He didn't ask me what I was doing. He said, "You're coming with us." And I did. And that's what I did for a long time. You've given me the spiritual gift of surrender. I don't have to have control today. You've given me today back, for one. I get to live in here, and now I don't have to worry about the fear of tomorrow, the worry of what's going on out there. $3.50 a gallon gas price, I don't have to worry about it. I get to stay right here in front of you at this moment right now, today. I have a college degree today. I have a sense of belonging and identity. I have family. I have parents. I have a sponsor. I have sponsees. I have a better relationship with you. I have a better relationship with myself. And I have a better relationship with God. And everything else doesn't matter. I think I got there. I need to close it up, sorry. I just want to share in the basic text. It's quoted all the time, but I want to share the hope. The basic text talks about vision of hope, man. I want to share the hope that relapse is not a requirement. Since I found these rooms, I haven't had to use a drug. And the last thing, right before I came here, man, I got a phone call from my family. And that same uncle that took me to treatment had to be removed from treatment to help me to find God. I got to take him to detox right before coming here. I just want to thank you for a new way of life. That's all I got.